interesting feature that we've started. It has got a lot of attention. A lot of you are asking and talking about it long after the show has ended. The future of. And today we're looking at the future of the home. I looked at this and I thought to myself, what are we on about? Bohle Dlamini is a speaker and futurist at Tomorrow Today, and Tomorrow Today Global, in fact. And he's in studio with us, gracing us with his presence from Canada. Hello, yeah. Bohle.
Hello, hello. It's great to be here.
I was trying to wrap my head around the future of the home, and I thought, what am I missing? What am I missing? So it's very complex. It's not as simple as us talking about the home and gadgets.
Yes.
The future of the home is also, believe it or not, also philosophical.
Absolutely. Okay. Our understanding of home. You've heard the phrase, home is where your heart is. And we always sort of like associate home with the place where we want to be, a place where we belong, a place where we find our comfort from the pressures of the world. But the home is also about who is with us in that space. The home is also about what we describe as home in terms of families and things like that. And so the future of the home is smart. So we are talking about the smart homes and all of that.
Yes.
But also we're talking about the future of the home as being global. That the idea of the home as sort of like if you were born in South Africa, that home is South Africa. Or if you were born in Europe, that home is Europe. That also is changing.
An identity around
and then
what
identity,
is home
what is
for
home.
You.
Exactly. And then the third aspect of that is actually who are the people that are in the home. And there we look at basically the fact that home is changing dramatically as the world becomes more urban.
I read somewhere someone saying, you know, Africans, a South African in Europe is likely to call themselves African.
Absolutely.
Nigerian in Europe is likely to call themselves an African. A Cameroon citizen is likely to call themselves an African somewhere else in the world.
Sure.
A French person in South Africa is not likely to call themselves European. Mm-hmm. They're going to say they're French.
Yes. Yes.
And distinct, huh?
Very, very distinct. And so it's the world that's becoming more global. Mm. It's a world that's becoming more fluid. Despite all the pressures that are happening out there to sort of like push us back into the corners where we sort of like identify ourselves by our ethnic origins and stuff like that. And so it's a very interesting place to be. But I do think that when we think about home, one of the things that's going to impact all of us, regardless of where we find ourselves, is the reality of smart and connected homes.
So, you know, there was a time, and I think it wasn't so long ago, when you asked a South African where's home.
Yes.
Their response is not likely to be where they're living.
Yes.
Their response would likely be home.
Yes. I love that. I know that very well.
You
mean
home,
or do you mean
home? Yes. Black people have a home, which is not home.
And my farm.
Yeah. Home. So there is no other way of explaining that.
But yes.
It is home. As in home where I think my origins are,
yes.
Or where I believe my origins are.
Yes.
Which is very different to what I think is current day home. The future of home, though, I think when you're asking younger people where's home is where they're going to be.
Yes.
Is that not where, I mean, it's jarring to me.
Yes.
But more and more I'm starting to see it when you ask a younger person about their thoughts of home.
Yes.
Home is in the future. It's not looking back.
Absolutely. And it's what you are creating as opposed to what has been created for
you, and
so on. And this is a huge shift, especially for an African mindset, you know, because again, we have parents who believe that kids should think of the nest that they've built for them as a place where they're going to put their roots.
Mm-hmm.
But most young people, especially in this current era, are thinking about home as a space that I create for myself.
Yes.
And home is actually, it's not sort of like limited by the family or by the people that I associate with. And so it's very, very interesting.
So let's talk about the home having shifted so much in our understanding of what home is and where home is in your head, mm-hmm. right? Because there's a lot that goes with in terms of how we consume, how we work in that space, live in that space is very different because of where we think in our head home is.
Yes.
So the trend is not to accumulate anything. Unlike before,
yes,
where you would buy art and all of those things as what would represent your future wealth, for argument's sake, right?
Exactly.
Now, acquire less, have yes. less, because I'm not likely to stay here.
Absolutely. So what we're starting to see, you're starting to see a lot of shared spaces. Mm-hmm. And I think here in Johannesburg, when you think about areas like the Maboneng precinct and stuff like that, it's this concept that I'm part of a community. And so we're starting to see people actually saying, we're not going to buy a home, but we're going to lease a home in the same way that you would lease a car, and sort of like have, think about it this way. When you think about what's happened in the transportation industry, where more and more people are reticent to buy a car, because why would I buy a car when I can actually use an app and get a ride everywhere I want to go? And so the same thing is going to become where homes are going to become more places where you can go in and out, especially now when we have such a mobile community where young people, they don't think of themselves as having to be in the same city for the next 10 years. Most young people have plans
yep.
that I'm actually going to be in New York for the next 18 months. And after New York, I want to go and check out Europe, and I'm going to spend so many months in Europe. I actually had an entrepreneur friend that I connected with that has actually started a whole business around surfing entrepreneurs. And so what they do is that they say to the entrepreneurs, you want to be where the waves
are. The
wave
is.
And so what they do is that they literally have properties across the world, and they manage the movements of these entrepreneurs so that when they get to where they want to go and they decide that they're going to be there for 4 months, they have the Wi-Fi is ready for them, everything is set up, and they're right on the doorstep of the beach, so they can move from Colombia to wherever the waves are.
So to what detriment is a society that refuses to recognize that this is the future? So a society, for instance, that is at odds with an Uber.
Absolutely.
At odds with Airbnb, for argument's
sure.
sake, where actually this is the way the future is going to be.
Exactly. So I was just saying it this week that what we're seeing around the world in terms of this pushback to globalism, the pushback to technology, the pushback that we're seeing around the world, it's what needs to happen for us to go into the next age.
Mm.
So the pushback, what they're not realizing, and so what we're not realizing, let me put all of
yes,
us in that
in
category.
Basket,
so
yes.
instead of, so what we're not realizing is that in our pushback, we're actually ushering this era much quicker. let me explain what I mean by that. By pushing back on the technology, we force the technology to be better.
More agile. Yeah.
So we force the ones who are bringing these technologies to say, people are going to demand these technologies to be safer and more secure because they're so scared.
Mm.
And so we push them more in that direction. Same thing with Uber, same thing with autonomous cars.
Mm.
So what happens is that this pushback is actually, pushing this. And the 2020s are here. 10 months from now, we're already in the 2020s. And I really believe that the 2020s is really the time where we're starting to see all of these things, all of these technologies that we've been talking about that are already here, integrating to a point where the wave is not going to be able to be stopped anymore.
So our job, all of us, is to bring along people who are not traditionally from the IT spaces, yourselves,
yes.
futurists, and so on.
Yes.
Because unfortunately, right now, the understanding is that people who should care
yes.
should be innovators in IT, for argument's sake.
Yes.
Right? And the truth of the matter is that if you understand that someone sitting in Lusikisiki
yes.
is on a mobile app,
mm-hmm.
is on a telephone.
Yes.
In fact, I went to an informal settlement the other day where there is no electricity or anything like that.
Yes.
They are pulling in electricity from another formal township and so on.
Yes.
And their argument was very simple. They understand there is scarcity on the electricity.
Yes.
All they want the electricity for is to charge their battery phones.
Absolutely.
Nothing else.
Absolutely.
Meaning they've elevated the importance of the phone.
Yes.
Far, far exceeding the fridge.
Yes.
The television.
Yes.
The radio and
yes.
so on.
Yes.
So this device has become their lives.
And you see what happens when we think about the future of the home and that device in particular, mm-hmm. the mobile phones and the things that we have. Is that mobile phone connects you to everything.
Mm.
So picture this. You have 50 rand in Yana and you want to treat your family.
Mm.
That device connects you to actually being able to order, a KFC and have it delivered to your house and stuff like that. And so what is happening is that most people, especially in Africa, we are leapfrogging in terms of the technology,
yeah.
Because the smartphone has become that thing that allows us to access and be connected around the world.
Mm.
So when we think about the future of the home, I think one aspect, I think a lot of people, there's always a pushback when we talk about the technology. And the pushback is always like, you can tell us about the microwaves.
You geeks. They say that.
Microwaves that are connected to the internet and all of this stuff, but what is that? The reality is that we have the poverty gap
mm-hmm.
that is so much. How is this really going to affect people in the rest of the continent, for example? And my response to that is that when you think about that, you think about M-Pesa in...
You have no idea actually how it's changing lives.
It's changing
you
lives.
Actually
you
have no
Maasai,
idea.
The Maasai headsmen being able to trade their
Absolutely.
Cattle using their cell phone while on the side of a mountain.
Absolutely.
In the hills, in the Ngong Hills, close to Nairobi. So that's the reality of what's happening. And so the argument that this is only going to affect the rich is not entirely true. The changes that are happening in terms of the technology and the connectedness in terms of our world are not going to only affect that. But I think another aspect of the home is about the makeup of the home.
Mm.
And so we have a traditional understanding and a traditional view of the home, a traditional understanding that, there's a mother and a father and 2.5 kids and a dog
and a picket fence
and all of that. And the reality is that the world is becoming more urban.
Mm.
And so with the world becoming more urban, the cost of housing actually around the world is skyrocketing.
Mm.
And so what is happening is that more and more people are living in multi-generational homes now. You know, like it's like going back, but it's actually going forward, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Where you think back to the times when grandma and grandpa were in the house. I think you were speaking to Graham about the future of aging.
Mm.
People are going to live much, much longer than ever before.
Mm.
And so what's starting to happen, we're starting to see these multi-generational homes once again, as the baby boomers and the Generation Xers are integrating to a home system to save on housing, and so that brings a host of dynamics.
So we've looked a little bit at how positive this future of the home looks like. And I think initially technology was embraced for many reasons. You know, we had CCTV TVs, which
yes.
we felt a little bit safer. You know,
yes.
technology was doing the most. But again, we are moving into, because of that access,
yes.
very unsafe territory. So the
yes.
home is no longer secure with the occupants, physical occupants of the home,
yes.
because they are intruders via our technological advances.
I think the story of the Alexa conversation that then got sent to the people that the two people in the room were busy talking about.
Yeah.
I think went viral last year, yeah. where these two people were talking in the home and they mentioned somebody, and Alexa picked that up and called them without them knowing. They listened into the conversation, and of course that raised huge alarms, right? And so there's a new concern about the connected home, that it brings a security risks and all of that. But the exciting thing about that is that that story going viral pushes again Amazon and the Alexa artificial intelligence sort of like designers. And it pushed them to a point where they had to do a lot of work in terms of making sure that it's safer. So what we're dealing with right now is that you have a lot of early adopters living in completely smart homes. Mm-hmm. By completely smart homes, I mean homes where everything is connected to the internet and it's connected to a voice-controlled system. And so you have early adopters that are now, when they come home, the moment they come to the door, it picks
I
up...
I cannot imagine walking into my house and saying, take off the bra, please. Can you? Because, I mean, that would be heaven on earth.
and we might as well be getting there, you know, where you, the wardrobes that will undress you and tell you if you look good in what you've just put on, you know, help you with your ego there a little bit.
Yes.
But so we have early adopters in that space. Mm. So we're moving from where it's been home devices that are sort of like separate. You have your Echo speaker and you have this. Everything is sort of like scattered.
Mm.
And we're moving to a space where actually homes now are designed with Wi-Fi built in.
Mm.
So just that, just let that sink in. Wi-Fi built in home where actually you're not going to be worrying about dead spots and stuff like that. I know that we haven't for many of us right now. And so on. So with Wi-Fi built in and then everything else built in. So when you come home, the door opens because it knows it's you, and so you don't have to fumble with keys and stuff like that. And you come in and automatically the ambience of the home changes because it was dark. It starts to light up, and as you walk through each room, the lights turn on, and when you say blinds, they go up and stuff like that. And temperature. So now that I live in Canada, I understand that even more. I mean, in South Africa, we don't worry about temperature so much because
it's consistent. Yes.
Yes. But let me just tell you an example of what happened to me 2 weeks ago. So we left home and we went to the city.
Mm.
So my wife and I, we live in Nova Scotia in Canada. Mm. So at this time of the year, it's very, very cold.
Yeah.
And so I did everything that, you know, that you would do when you're going to leave the house. Turn down the heat into all the rooms because you don't want the oil burning, you know, burning while you're gone and all of that stuff. And I locked the doors. Unbeknownst to me, one of our kids had left the front door open. We used the side door, but had not locked the front door.
Yes.
And so I didn't bother because it's always locked. And so we went through the side door, we locked everything, and we went for the weekend.
Mm.
When we came back, the front door was actually ajar. Not just unlocked, it was open. And so you can imagine what that did in terms of, because the heating has to compensate for the open door and all of that stuff, and what it cost us in oil and electricity and all of that stuff. Now imagine a different scenario where when I go, when I leave my house, I just say, Alexa, goodbye. And and wow. Alexa literally shuts down. Controls all the temperatures, does all of those things. That takes 30 minutes out of my time, you know, out of my
checking
time.
Checking and you know, anxiety.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I'm out of there. Or when I go to bed, Alexa, good night.
Mm.
And everything shuts down. The doors are locked. I don't have to worry about whether it's been done and so on and so on. So the artificial intelligence and the machine learning built into the home is already changing the way that we feel safe. Now, of course, you spoke about the security, mm-hmm. about the possibility of being hacked and the possibility of all of those things. That is going to be there, and it's going to be an ongoing battle. And that's where the money is going to be.
So let me ask you this. As someone who is, I think, connected in sure. every way possible, because even your mobility is connected, your entire family is connected. Mm. Will you ever feel like you're connected enough? Because I have
a
sense that people like you
yes.
don't think that it's enough. You still want to be more and more connected, right?
Yes. And
I don't think anybody is more connected than you, by the way, sure, in terms sure. of continents, in terms yes. of in the home, in the family yes. dynamics, in global spaces that you live and yes. live in your home. I mean, yes. you've got children from different parts of the world,
yes.
right? You're married to somebody from a different continent.
Yes.
You live in different continents.
Yes.
And you still don't feel you're connected.
And I think that's the interesting part of what's happening as the world changes around us, is that, you know, we've always thought that once we've done something, that's going to be enough. Now we can travel around the world very quickly. We even now are looking at autonomous cars and all of that stuff. But the reality, and I think this is what makes us human, is that this continuous quest for next, and it's not going to go away. The moment that stops, we as humans would lose one of the things that make us the most interesting and amazing species that the Earth has produced, because we always have this quest for next, but I think the biggest challenge for most of us, even the ones who want to be connected. Mm. I think I'm less connected than Graham Codrington, for
example. Oh, my word. He still thinks he's less connected.
I'm less, you know, like Graham has a 3D printer at home, right? So I don't have that yet. But, you know, where you can actually 3D print the designs that you're thinking
guys.
About, and you can come out with a concept and you 3D print it so that you're not just drawing it, but you can actually see it. So I think that all of us are on this continuum of connectedness and so on. Some of us are reluctant connectors. So we are reluctant, but slowly but surely, some of us now are on WhatsApp and so on. And it's always been very interesting for me to watch the dynamics in my South African family,
yeah.
where you know, as a Zulu family, we have Sotho, because, you know, in South Africa, you don't really have one ethnicity. We have all ethnicities. Mm. We've got Xhosas, we've got all in one family, because we all get married and connected and all of that. But what's very, very been interesting for me to watch are some of the members of the family that were against cell phones and they were against all of this stuff.
Mm.
And now they are the most annoying people on WhatsApp. You know, they're like, they live there.
So my last question to you is, knowing what you know and working in spaces that you work in that are far more advanced than many of us, what is the next best thing?
Yes. It's not so much about the next best thing as about saying, are we ready for what's already here? Because I really think that's a challenge that most of us, you know, are facing. So what we're finding right now is that homes are not, homes or technologies are not only going to control our homes, but they're actually going to be controlling our health. They're going to be controlling. So say, for example, let me give you a good example of this home of the future in terms of what's next.
Mm.
Already you have sensors, you have smart homes that have built-in sensors that will, as you sleep, will measure the quality of your sleep without you actually having to input that on your device and say, I slept from this time to that time.
Mm.
So, and pressure points that when you wake up, they will take your weight for the day. Sensors that will also measure your blood pressure. Now, for the aging community, this becomes very, very important because flags come up quicker in terms of the attention that you need and so on and so on, instead of things happening much later. And that And so everything contributes to everything else. So the smart homes contribute to us actually living even longer, because now we can avoid a lot of the things that in the past people could have, you know, could have had a heart attack and died, and nobody would have known.
No one would have known.
And now your doctor gets an alert that your blood pressure has dropped or your insulin or whatever it is, just because of how connected your home is and stuff like that. And so that changes health. Then you look at other aspects as well, where it changes sort of like mobility, so when we think about this, it's not so much about what's next, it's about actually we being prepared for what is already here and just embracing it.
Well, I mean, it has been fascinating having you here, as he is a speaker and futurist at Tomorrow Today Global, and it's been such a pleasure having you.